What I'm going to share with you today is worth you writing down, because you will not remember everything that's said. And there's some things in here that you're going to want to write down. And you say, well, I've got a good memory. How many knows that a short pencil is better than a long memory? So get out your pencils or your papers or pens or whatever you use. And you say, well, I got an iPad. I don't know if you can type that fast or not. So if you can, more power to you. But I want you to stick with me this morning. I want to share with you a subject that I preached recently. And I really felt like I'm going off the 2026 vision thing today, because I really felt like the Lord wanted me to preach this just before the ladies' conference. Do you know what I normally preach the Sunday before ladies' conference? I call it my pre-lady conference sermon. And I preach everything that I feel like we're going to be needing during that conference. But today, I want to share with you on the thought of knocked down, but not knocked out. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Everybody say, built to bounce back. God built us to bounce back and not stay down. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Our scripture reading today is found in Proverbs 24, verse 16. I'll be reading from Dr. KJV today. And if you have another translation, you can follow through. It's going to say basically the same thing. I've checked them all in my parallel. They're going to be just about the same thing. The scripture declares, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon says, for a just man, your Bible might say a righteous man, either way, it's a good man, falls. And he falls how many times? Seven times, but he rises up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. One translation says, the wicked will fall when calamity strikes their way. Anybody ready to get up today? Turn to neighbor number one and say, it's time to get back up. Turn to neighbor number two and say, get up again. You see, when the devil knocks us down, the devil's thinking and hoping that it is the end. This is the end of you. I finally knocked him down. But God said it's not the end, it's only the intermission. You ever been watching a movie or go to a Broadway show or one of these plays, and in the middle they have an intermission? That's not the end. That's only the intermission. And so many people think when they get knocked down, well, this is it. It's over with. Falling is not the end. And I want to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. Falling does not disqualify you. Amen. Falling does not disqualify you. Amen. A just man falleth. A just man, a righteous man, a Christian man. And by the way, we're not talking about men only. Because how many knows women fall too? So let's say humans, a human falleth. And thank God falling doesn't disqualify us, because Dwayne, if falling disqualified us, there would be nothing to read in the Bible. Come on now. The Bible is full of failures. And what I love about the Word of God, it doesn't try to hide it. It doesn't try to bury it. It doesn't try to paste it over with something else. The Bible shows us clearly the failure of mankind. Amen. The scripture's so brutally honest, isn't it? I love that about the Word of God. It doesn't say, well, David went out and he had a dream. No, David went out and committed adultery and committed murder. The Bible tells it in black and white. Amen. But so it seems like we have kind of built a culture where people have been afraid to talk about falling, or they feel like, you know, if I admit I have fallen, then people's going to think I'm a failure. Just because you fall doesn't mean you're a failure. All men fall. Get this in us today. All pastors fall. If you remember back in the 80s, big name pastors fell. Small name, no name pastors fall. Leaders fall. Parents fall. Employers fall. All men fall. The difference is we don't stay down. The wicked stay down. But thank God, the just, the righteous, the born again people, we rise back up to the top. Amen. Falling does not equal failure. Now, these are some of the things you need to write down. I used to say tweet alerts, but I don't think there's any more tweets out there, and I'm not going to say telegram alert or whatever. So, but these are good things. We've been conditioned to believe that falling equals failure, and because of that, we've been afraid to admit our struggles. We bury our mistakes. We carry shame in silence, because if anybody knows what I did, then they're certainly going to mark me off of their best friend list. Are you with me? But I'm going to tell you something. Falling is part of the human journey. God does not fret when you fall. We've all had children. We've all had babies in our homes. And we've all watched them when they went from crawling to trying to walk. When they start to take a step or two and they fall down, we don't get all worried and scared and kick them out of our house because they fail. Huh? What do we do? Come on, get back up. Get back up. Come on, get back up, honey. Come to daddy. You can do it. Get up, get up. We'll even hand them a hand. Say, come on, get back up and let's do it again. And they fall again. And they fall again. But that's how they learn to walk. And I'm going to tell you something. At 76 years old, I still fall down. I don't even know if I can get up or not. I was here the other day, and I was walking out of the church, and I was just going up those three little steps right back there. And I fell flat on my face right up against the door, and I thought I was okay. And I pulled my pants up and looked at my knee, and it was all bleeding, and it's been scabbing over and all that stuff. And, you know, the first thing you do when you fall is you look around, because we've been taught if you fall, you're a failure. If you fall, people are going to laugh at you. So what I did is I went back and looked at the camera. And I showed it. I showed it to Tiffany and Darlene, and I don't know if Chris was here, but I showed it to the family, because I realize everybody falls down. Am I in the right church today? But we all get back up sometime or another, don't we? I didn't stay on the floor. We were at Brother Gray's church last year or 2 years ago. We were going up there to pick up some supplies for the ladies' conference. And we knew there were people inside, but the door was locked. And Darlene put her foot up on the first step. And then she got ready to, there was another little step there. And she stepped on the front door out on the porch. And she fell flat on her face. And her face hit the glass door like this. Her nose hit the thing that goes around the door frame, hit the frame, the metal frame on that metal door. And I mean, did you get a black eye out of that? Yeah. And didn't we not come to the ladies' conference with a black eye? And everybody said, what'd your husband do to you? Listen, even first ladies fall. How many of those presidents fall? Should I show some videos? Presidents do fall. Whether they're riding a bike. Oh, come on, Daryl. Falling is part of our human journey. And Scripture never celebrates perfection. That's a good one to write down. But it does celebrate redemption. The greatest men in the Bible, I'll name you a few in a few moments. The greatest men in the Bible fell. But how many knows? Through the grace of God, they rose again. And when you look at somebody through the eyes of the law, through the eyes of the like the Old Testament scribes and Pharisees, and that old religious spirit, when somebody falls, you want to look at them and curse them and put your foot on them and keep them down. Instead of realizing, thank God, grace rejoices when we rise up again. Grace rejoices. And so, they all fell, but through the grace of God, they rose back up. Real strength isn't pretending you never stumble. Strength, the real strength is in the getting back up. I want to tell you something. It takes no effort to fall down. Trust me, I know. I fell at the Tanzania-Kenya border crossing. At the crossing. Got all these military people standing out there watching you and staring at you like, what are you doing here, white boy? And we just, you know, we just walked in there, you know, it was about the only white ones in the whole crowd. And so I started to step up on the front porch and I fell flat on my face right in front of everybody. Boy, I got up quickly. I didn't want anybody. I got up so fast. I don't know if it was the grace of God or just my determination not to be embarrassed. But grace begins where pretending stops. Did you get that? Grace begins where the pretending stops. I'm not giving you a license to fall. We don't have to do that. We're going to fall. I'm not saying it's okay, just go out and do your thing and fall and then come back. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you do, because the Bible says a righteous man will fall. And by the way, seven times is not a number. Seven is a number of repetition. When Jesus said, forgive your neighbor 70 times seven, he wasn't saying 490 times. Infinity. It's a number of infinity. And when he said a righteous man will get up seven times, well, bless God, that doesn't mean at the eighth one you're cursed on the ground. Good stuff. Woo. The Bible doesn't define righteousness by never falling, but by always rising. If falling disqualified you, nobody in this room would be qualified. I am not qualified by man's rules and religious rules to be the pastor of this church. Who said that's right? Well, you're right. You're right. That is right. Neither is my wife qualified to be the leader of WAW. Because if the religious and the religious law is looking for perfection, for perfection, we don't belong there. And aren't you glad that nobody in this room is perfect? Amen? Amen. Heaven applauds resilience, not perfection. You know what I like? I like to see it when I fall. Like if I fall in the natural, I like to see heaven clapping because I'm getting back up. One time when our church was back here in this little concrete floor area, we had our platform over on this side, and I was walking our platform probably wasn't much higher than the second or third step here, but I was on the floor and I was talking and preaching away, and I was backing up and I was going to step up on the platform like this and go backwards, and my reverse beeper wasn't working just right, and I fell flat, spread eagle on the platform just like this. Now, in most churches, the ushers would have jumped up immediately or somebody to assist the pastor. But I laid there like this. Only it was like this. And I had my lapel mic and I said, is anybody going to help me up? Now, the Bible says a just man falls seven times and he rises up, but it doesn't always say somebody's going to be there to take you by the hand. You may have to rise up by yourself. Let me clear this up. Falling does not make you wicked. Struggling doesn't make you fake. And failure doesn't mean God is finished with you. Amen? The righteous fall. You're going to hear me say that several times during this message. The just man falls because he's human. Amen? Righteousness is not immunity from failure. It's alignment with mercy. Let that sink in. It's alignment with mercy. Let me just share a couple more thoughts here with you. Every day, we all face some type of a difficulty. And have you ever found that most things in life don't come along to lift us up? They come to push us down. Most of the reporting that you're hearing on the news is not uplifting news. Huh? You hardly ever hear a newscaster say, well, now, before we go off the air today, let's bow our heads in prayer and thank God. No, you know what they'll tell you? Before we go off the air today, let me remind you that Trump's going to kill the world. There's never anything positive, right? Everything's always pushing us down. That's what gravity does. It pushes us down. And we get into a place where eventually, after you've been pushed down a few times, you think, well, this is life. This is where I'm supposed to be. But it's not. We rise up. Amen. We rise back to the top. Some people, you know, we don't rise up to kindergarten level. We rise up to where God has us at. Amen. God did not create you to be overcome, but he did create us to be overcomers. God put something on the inside of us called bounce back. I was going to bring a couple basketballs up here tonight today and show you how to dribble. But most people know that I can't do that. And then I thought, well, maybe Nick and Luke would come up here and show us how that basketball has bounced back. But listen, in basketball, listen, God, oh, this is good. God specializes in rebounds. I'm liking this more than you are today. Because it's ministering to me, Rick. This is ministering to me. Bounce back. God specializes in rebounds. Listen to this. In basketball, a rebound happens after a miss, right? The shot didn't go in. The plan, the play, did not work the way the coach thought it was going to work. But listen, it's not game over. Are you with me? Just because the ball didn't go in, the game's not over. Somebody needs to get in there and do a rebound. This is good. A rebound is what you do after a disappointment. Come on, do you get this kind of preaching in Georgia? Of course we do. When we come there. Say this with me. God specializes in rebounds. Now, before they put the next slide up there, I want to ask you, is there anybody here knows which NBA player has the most rebounds in NBA history? Don't raise your hand. I mean, yeah, raise your hand, but don't raise your voice. Don't raise your voice. If you think you know, the most rebounds in NBA history. Okay, Dwayne, I don't know. You probably saw my notes. So you did. That's what I thought. See? A prophet knows. Did you see my notes? Who? No. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? No, not you. Who? Dennis Rodman. No. Anybody else? Okay, tell us. Who does? Who? Throw the fixture up there. Wilt Chamberlain has the most rebounds in NBA history. Now listen to this. He had over 23,000 career rebounds. He averaged almost 23 per game. That's a lot of rebounds. This guy right over here was our best rebounder during our Christian school days. Luke was a great rebounder. He had the height. He had the jump. He wasn't as slow then as he is now. And he would get under that basket and slap that ball and hold that ball. Listen. This guy had to work for that title. And do you think old Mr. Chamberlain got knocked down? Why are you fact-checking me, Luke? Because you were wrong and I was right. You're fact-checking me to prove me wrong and you right. We're going to ban cell phones from the audience. Just say amen. Champions live for the rebound. They live for the rebound. God specializes in a rebound. A rebound, when you rebound and you're saying, I may have gotten knocked to the floor, but I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to stay on the floor. There's a game to play here. There's a mission to accomplish. You might get knocked down in this ladies' conference and maybe something happened that doesn't really go your way or doesn't suit your fancy. But what we do, we get back up. We don't stay down. You might even get rebuked by my lady wife. She's a good rebuker sometimes. But you know what? If you get rebuked, just say, okay, I'll take it. I'll pray about it. Whoa. But we'll about to show you how gravity works here. You know, Dwayne, Dwayne, when this thing was off, Dwayne wanted to put a ledge up here. He wanted to put a ledge here. He said, I want to put a ledge up there so Pastor won't fall off. Hey, I would trip over that thing. I'd trip over that ledge. I'd forget it was there, and I'd kick it, and then I'd fall over. So I said, no ledge. Again, the righteous will fall. The righteous will fall. Sometimes, as Luke said this morning, who, by the way, did a tremendous, tremendous job today in the class, sometimes we fall because of our own doings, right? Have you ever fallen because somebody pushed you? Have you ever been to a church where people lined up for hours to get into the church, and when the doors open, they forget they're Christians, and they just start pushing people over and trying to get a front row seat? We've been there, haven't we, Dwayne? We've been there. We know what that's like. And some people get knocked down, but they don't stay down and say, well, I ain't going to church. I'm just going to stay right here on the ground until church is open. No, we get back up. Look at somebody and say, get back up. Get back up. So falling doesn't mean you're flawless. Did I say that right? Abraham fled. Abraham lied about his wife. Moses lost his temper. You think some of these guys might have fallen? David sinned publicly in front of the whole nation. Peter denied Jesus, but God still calls them righteous. I said, God still calls them righteous. I want you to listen to this next statement. You might want to write this down and share it with somebody. Falling doesn't cancel your calling. I know the religious don't like this, and I might get some remarks on Facebook, but falling does not cancel your calling. How you know, Brother Roach? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me. You want me to sing it? How do I know the Bible tells me so? Amen. Anybody agree? For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. I'm going to tell you something right now that you're not going to believe. There was an evangelist at Joe Skiles Church in Potosi, Missouri, in the late 70s. I went to that revival. That evangelist was probably one of the most anointed guys. He had a gift for calling people up, and the anointing would the pull people. More people got saved in that revival than any other revival Joe ever had over there. But this guy was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. As soon as church was over, he'd run down to the local tavern, and we found out because the local tavern owner told the pastor after the revival was over, he'd come down and he'd get something, a fifth or whatever they call it, a jar, bottle, whatever, and he would go back to the motel room and he would get drunk. He would drink so much he'd get drunk. Did God still use him? I don't understand, and don't ask me to explain it, but I'm telling you what, when the gospel's preached, it's not the vessel that gets them saved, it's the message that gets them saved. Please don't walk out on me. I don't understand. I'm telling you, I don't understand how all that works. But I know that the anointing of God and the calling of God doesn't stop because of a fall. Amen. So, like Luke used to say, if God can use a donkey, he can use Brother Rhodes, right? And he did use a donkey in the Old Testament. Micah 7 and 8. Let's look at this again. Now, I told you last week, if you'll shout amen, I'll get you out of here a little bit earlier. I'm going to have to come up with a different one, I think. How many knows when the preacher says, I only have one more scripture, you might as well cancel your lunch plans. This guy always makes fun of my closings. Pastor's always got three or four closings. And you had to say this morning, I only have one closing. I saw the jab. Again, when I fall, what are you going to do? When I fall, I will arise. Now, the rest of that verse says, but the wicked fall into, say fall into. They fall into mischief. They fall, and when they fall, they don't rise back up. They stay down and wallow in their falling. I want to give you seven things real quickly this morning that they fall into, okay? They fall into something, and there's at least seven that I've listed here. Number one, they fall into bitterness. When the wicked fall, they fall into bitterness. What's that mean? Instead of repenting, instead of taking advantage of that time, their heart hardens. They could have been humbled, but instead, their heart becomes hardened. And the pain, listen to this, the pain becomes their personality. They identify with the falling. You got that? Number two, they will fall into blame. When the unrighteous fall, they fall into mischief, or they can fall into blame. You know what that means? They refuse to accept the responsibility that it could have been something they did that made them fall. Well, somebody pushed me. No, you just stumbled. I got a pair of shoes that every time I wear, they're Crocs. And some people wear these Crocs. I don't know how in the world you do it. But every time I wear these Crocs, I guess I don't pick my feet up, but I always stumble when I walk. And Tiffany said, you got your Crocs on, don't you, Dad? Because I stumble in those Crocs. She does. But it's always someone else's fault. It's not my fault. Somebody pushed me. That's why I stumbled. No. Here we go. Number three. They fall into rebellion. Rather than returning and repenting, they resist the correction. They turn into, you know what that's called? That's called pride. They let their pride get the upper hand on him and keep them from the very grace that could restore them into an upright position again. Number four, am I going too fast? Just write them down. Do we have another one? They fall into despair. They fall into despair. If you don't have righteousness as your foundation, their fall has absolutely no hope attached to it. You're going to stay down. You don't see a way back. So what do? You just sink down deeper and deeper. I know people like that have fallen. They have fallen prey to sin. They've given into the appetites of the flesh, and they got down, but they would not receive help to get back up because they think, I'm too far gone. There's no way God would ever forgive me. We know people like that. You know people like that. How could God forgive what I did? He loved me so much. He trusted me so much. I had such an honorable calling, and now God doesn't trust me. You know what? I'm telling you what, they need to get out of that. Amen? Number four, they don't see their way back, so they just sink deeper. Number five, they fall into... Did I forget deception, or is deception one of the others? Okay, well, I'm gonna give you deception. I must have missed that one. They fall into deception, number five. This is just who I am. I'll never change. There's no use in trying. And what happens is you become frozen in your past. The enemy convinces you that the fall is final. I'm here to tell you today, the fall is never final. Deception. They fall into deception. Deception. Did I say that? No, where am I at? Into bondage. Let's do that one. They fall into bondage. The habits that they fall into become chains that they cannot break. If you do something over and over and over, it'll become a habit. And sometimes, how many knows those chains can keep you locked up? Do you know that the anointing can break the chains, can loose the chains that have you in bondage? Amen. Your choices become your captivity. But I'm telling you what, we can break those chains through the help of and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number seven. Did we get this one? Fall into isolation. We made it. We fall into isolation. Shame drives you away from asking for help. Hello? I have fallen. I'm so full of shame. I'm not about to ask the pastor to pray for me. Yes, it is. His favorite tool. Shame. I can't ask anybody to pray for me because I don't want them to know that I'm having trouble with pornography. I can't let them know that I have a problem with lying and exaggerating. I can't let them know that I don't love my wife. Listen, folks, that shame will hold you back and keep you from rising to the top. We need to be seeking healing. That's why we need community. That's why we need one another. Well, sometimes people can be encouraged by your falling. And they can encourage you to rise up again, but it can help them to keep from falling into the same trap that you fell into. When you see how much damage falling can do, you'll say, you know, let me help you out of this. In fact, the Bible says, let them that are spiritual bear the burdens of those that are weak. But the problem is sometimes the weak or the fallen won't admit it so they can let us help them. That's what I love about Brother Alex Young. He's not afraid to admit, I am struggling. I am having a struggle with this situation, and it's affecting me emotionally. You know, mental illness is a real thing. Come on. I'm not saying you're mentally ill, brother. That didn't come out right. I'm so sorry. That didn't come out right. But there's soulish things that we're afraid to talk to people about. Look at Jeremiah 8 and 4. I didn't give you this, Blake. Jeremiah 8 and 4. People of Jerusalem, when you stumble and fall, you get back up. And if you take a wrong road, you turn around and go back. That's pretty plain, pretty simple, isn't it? If you're on the wrong road, turn around, dummy. You don't keep going further. But you know us guys? You know us guys? Oh, us guys are so smart. We don't need Google. We don't need Siri. We don't need the maps. We don't need navigation because we know this road will eventually take us and let us turn right and get back on the right road. Am I talking to men? We don't ask for directions, do we? The difference isn't who falls. The difference is what you fall into. Amen?
Sorry, I can't make a phone call with your iPad.
I'm not asking you to. Cancel. Okay. Cancel. So again, God specializes in comebacks. From Genesis to Revelation, he specializes in comebacks. Do y'all know, remember the great prophet that went to Nineveh? Do you know before he went to Nineveh, he had a fall, didn't he? And he didn't just fall on the ground, did he? Oh, no. And he didn't just fall in the fish's mouth. He fell to the bottom of the sea. The whale took him down all the way. Listen, Jonah fell, but he was the great preacher of Nineveh that caused the whole city to fast and repent. Did Jonah get back up? Of course he did. Actually got threw up, didn't he? That's not in my notes. Samson came back from failure. God gave him one last victory. Had a problem, but he came back. Peter came back from denial. I mean, here's one of the special three insiders of Jesus' ministry team, and he denies Jesus on the night of the crucifixion, the night of the betrayal. But did he come back? You better believe he came back, because in Acts chapter 3 on the day of Pentecost, when the preaching started, it was Peter that preached and 3,000 people got saved in the first New Testament Pentecostal message. He came back. Yes, he failed. And we all know he failed. But I look at the success of Peter preaching that day and 3,000 plus men and women. Oh, my gosh. Amen. He came back, didn't he? Your fall does not get the final word. Did Thomas fall? Yeah, Thomas said, I don't believe you're Jesus. I mean, here's the guy standing right in front of him, walked with him for 3.5 years. He said, I don't believe you're Jesus. I don't believe you're back from the dead. Now, Jesus had to say, put your hands, put your fingers in here. Put your fingers in my feet. Look here. See the scar on my side? Do you know Jesus is going to have that scar in his side for the rest of his life? Do you know when you go to heaven, it'll be easy to recognize Jesus because he may be the only one with holes in his hands. Because the rest of us are going to be made whole. But Jesus is going to have holes in his hands. Amen? This is pretty good stuff today. Psalms 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with his hand. When you fall, think about not just hitting the ground, but falling into the hand of the Lord. And the Lord will help you get back up again. Sometimes when I get down on my knees, I'm a little slow at getting back up, and somebody will help me up again, you know. And I think, you know, we thank God for help. The Lord is there to help us, not to condemn us, okay. Grace does not expire because you needed it again and again and again. Grace does not expire. I remind you in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They are new every January 1st only, huh? They're new every year, every month, every week. Every day, the mercies of God are brand new. Hallelujah. God doesn't say three strikes and you're out. Can I hear an amen? Amen. His mercies are new every morning. You might want to write this down. The devil celebrates the fall, but hell panics when you get back up. Is that good? Huh? The devil celebrates the fall, but hell panics when you get back up. Again, don't rejoice when I fall. Micah 7 and 8. Don't rejoice when I fall. My enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Notice it doesn't say if I arise, but it says when. Evidently, we're arising people, amen? We're like that little cork that was beat down but always kept floating back to the top. You can't keep it down. Do you ever remember those little clowns they used to have? And they had you stood on a pad, and these clowns had a spring in them, and it was a face of a clown, and you'd hit that clown, and it would bend over to the ground. Anybody not know what I'm talking about? Okay, everybody know what I'm talking about? Let me see if we're in the right church. Some of you not going to raise your hand no matter what I say. You would hit that clown in the face and knock it. It would hit the ground, but it came back up just as fast as it went down. You couldn't keep it down. It was built to bounce back. Ladies and gentlemen of Solid Rock Family Church, you are built to bounce back. Every time hell tries to knock you down, you need to realize, I'm not staying down. I'm getting back up again. Hallelujah. Noah fell into drunkenness. Right? Did God still preserve the lineage? Huh? David fell into sin, but God still said, you're the man after my own heart. Amen. God is the God of comebacks. I want you to watch this video here. We can probably watch it with the lights on. Some people think they're in the ring and they're going to win, but some people get back up. Listen to the words. Look at him showing off.
Maxwell, however, displayed incredible heart and power as he failed the punch that dropped the Frenchman with just seconds remaining in the fight.
Unbelievable. Oh, how beautiful. Isn't that beautiful?
In August 2020, Dillian White faced former world champion Alexander Povetkin. White started off well and controlled the fight in the first four rounds, knocking Povetkin down twice.
How many knows if you want to win, you got to get back up? Oh.
White was not outgoing with Bills in the canvas, making a sudden upset victory for Republican. Top for a moment, and Becky did try that because he dug straight up the middle, and the lights were out.
Let me know, you don't lose if you get back up. It's the devil's plan to knock you down and keep you down. But just because we get knocked down don't mean we stay down. We get back up.
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. Okay, let me just get ready to wrap this up. Oh, I like this. Failure is not an incident. Failure is an incident, not an identity. Every time you rise, you give testimony to the grace of God. Every time you rise, you shame the accuser. Every time you rise, you strengthen others that are watching you. If he got up, I can get up. Surely, if Chris got up from under that compressor, surely I can get up from under something that's knocked me down. Your comeback is someone else's survivor guide. Some of you still here today. You're still breathing. You're still here. And you're still rising. The fall didn't finish you. The devil tried his best. John Osteen, our pastor, used to say, the devil tried his best, but his best was never enough. Amen? Your worst chapter is not the final page that God plans to write in your book. Amen. So today, if you have fallen, maybe you've fallen spiritually. There's all kinds of falls. Maybe you have fallen morally. Maybe you have fallen emotionally. Maybe you've fallen in your marriage, and or maybe you've fallen quietly where nobody even noticed or in knows. Today is the day to rise up again, to make that new commitment to the Lord. Though I fall down, I will rise again. The fall did not disqualify you. I didn't get knocked out. I just got knocked down. And if I'll rise again, the fall doesn't disqualify you. The failure does not have the final word. Grace is still reaching, mercy is still calling, and hope is still breathing. So somebody in here, take a deep breath and shout, I am okay.
I am okay.
Come on, take a deep breath and just breathe it in. I shall rise again. There's a scripture in Corinthians that says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. As the worship team comes quietly, you can stumble and still be chosen. When I fell on those steps last week, looked around to make sure nobody was looking, I could have said, you know what? I don't deserve to be the pastor here. I can't even walk up steps. Well, you old man, you're getting so old, you don't have your balance anymore, you don't remember anymore, you can't keep your thoughts straight, you're just falling down all the time. But you know what? I chose to get back up. I had an assignment. We had things to do. We get back up. We don't stay down. We rise back to the top. Amen. Now, I preached this at a pastor's meeting recently, and I told the people that as a pastor, you know, there's many times that things are going to happen in your local church. There's many times, not only to pastors, but to the congregants, your heart can be broken. You know, every time somebody leaves the church, my heart is broken. If they leave on good terms, my heart is still broken. If they leave because they were offended, my heart is still broken. If they leave because they didn't like me, my heart is really broken. Because I can't understand why somebody wouldn't like me. But in ministry, you're going to have lots of opportunity to have your heart broken. Your name will be talked about. I don't know if your name is talked about. I don't do a lot on Facebook, but I have seen some people use some pretty cutting words on Facebook to talk about people. There's going to be times that your strength is gone. I prayed for my wife last night. She was just exhausted. And she was still on her phone. And this is one of our common battlegrounds, I'll admit it, is the phone. Because every time somebody texts her, she feels responsible to give them an answer immediately, whether we're in the middle of a sentence or in the middle of a meal. She feels that responsibility. And I said, honey, turn your phone off and just get some rest. You know what she said? Leave me alone. I'm doing what I want to do. You didn't hear that, did you? You were downstairs, right? Okay, good. But she was totally, in ministry, it's exhausting. My staff, our staff at Solid Rock is exhausted. These workers that have been coming in, and if I start naming a name, I'm going to miss somebody, and then somebody's going to get offended and quit the church, so I'm not going to name any names. But listen, all of you that have put in, I don't care if it was 1 hour one day during the week, or if you were here all day during, every day during the week, thank God for those that have been, thank God for your labor of love. And your labor and love for God and the ministry and for what's happening. And sometimes your strength, just you're just depleted. And I know there's times we just want to go home and lay down and get refreshed. And that's okay. That's quite all right. But it's easy to get discouraged. You know, when your biggest tither leaves your church, I told the pastors the other day, when your biggest tither leaves the church, you get out the pencil, you get out the calculator, and you start figuring, okay, now we're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut this. What do we do now? We can't upgrade this for another season, you know? Hey, listen, I've still got vision on the inside of me. We've lost some people and we've lost some tithers, but I've still got vision in me that's churning on the inside of me. And one of the next projects we're going to work on is we're going to expand our parking lot out there by the playground because it's too crowded out here. May I say, not on Wednesday nights, but on Sunday morning it's crowded. We have a couple things burning on the back burner that we want to see done at Solid Rock. And it will come to pass. It will surely come to pass. Can I ask you, did we have a mortgage burning service? Did we not burn the mortgage? We spoke it for years, didn't we, Rhonda? Spoke it for years. Didn't look like it was coming. But what do? I've got a pastor friend right up the road here. His entire worship team walked off the stage with their instruments and never came back and went to another church in another denomination that doesn't even believe like they believed and started playing for them. He was left without a worship team. They finally had to close the church. Thank God somebody bought the church and it's open again. Lenny Finch is having church there now, and thank God for Lenny Finch. And we bless the church. But listen, it hurts. It hurts. There's opportunities to just give up. You know, people rarely leave a church. People rarely leave a church because of God. The three P's why people leave a church: people, preferences, or pride. People, preferences, or pride. But I'm going to give you three P's why people stay at the church, okay? Three P's why people stay at the church. You ready for this? See if I can find it. The presence of God. The presence of God. Listen, it's not about the lights. It's not about the smoke. It's not about the entertainment or the performance. It's about His presence. And His presence will always draw people in. The second P, why people stay at a church, is because of people. Because people love connection. People love having people they can relate to. People that they can hook up with. How many knows friendship matters? How many of those relationships matter? You can't come in here as a lone ranger, honey, and sit in the church and not get involved and really be committed very long. We have to have relationships with one another. We have to be able to encourage one another, lift one another up, bless one another. Amen? And that's one of the things this church does. Man, this church blesses people. Y'all are not afraid to bless somebody. I saw a little girl walking in the church this morning with a brand new outfit on. Somebody in the church bought this little girl a brand new outfit, and she was so proud of it, so proud of her little outfit. Listen, isn't it fun to bless people? If you don't know by now, Darlene and I love to give. We love to give. And it's a joy to be able to have to give. But there was a time when we couldn't give and wanted to give, but we couldn't give because we didn't have it to give. And now God has blessed us, and we have it to give, and it's fun to give. I don't mind walking up to Dwayne and giving him a couple $100 bills and just saying, Dwayne, I didn't say I was going to do it. Good Lord. He's a man of faith, isn't he? But God has spoken to our hearts many, 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 many times to do that. In fact, I told Darlene, I said, I gave away three $100 bills this week. But you know what? I love giving to people. I love to bless people. I'm not trying to buy your love. I'm not trying to buy your faithfulness. I'm not trying to buy you, you know, a guaranteed seat on Sunday morning. No, we just love to bless and honor people. So much fun. So we need that. The second reason people come to church is because of people. We need one another. We need to unite. We need to come together. We're family. Amen. We are family. And the third reason is we stay together because of purpose. We have purpose. We have a calling. We have on the inside of us. I'm not just attending. I have a calling that I'm doing. You may look at Jeff over here. Wave your hand, Jeff. And you think, all that guy does is he comes to church on Sunday morning and he sits in church. No, he is standing up now. I think I might have saw his hand up one time. Oh, watch him. He will fall in the river before long. He'll fall in and he'll be just crazy like the rest of us. But you know what? He'll spend hours and hours and hours over here doing things at this church that I could never possibly do because God's gifted him and talented him, and he's building things that I could never build, and he's given it to the Lord's work. It's fun to give, isn't it, Jeff? Okay, so we need one another, and we also have purpose. Why does God have you at Solid Rock? What is your purpose at Solid Rock? Is it to take or is it to give? Is it to be a blessing or just take a blessing? Whatever it is, I'm telling you what, there's people that's going to stick around Solid Rock. They're going to stick around. Stand to your feet with me. And as you're standing, I'm going to say the devil panics when we rise up. When we rise again, the devil panics. Amen? You can come to the altar and you can come to the altar. I thought somebody was dying. Hey. You can come to the altar and you can cry and cry and cry, but that doesn't shake heaven. Hello? You know, you can even question God. God, why did you do this to me? God, I'm going to shake my fist at you. And God, this, that. And you know what? That doesn't trouble hell at all. But hell cannot stand it when you rise back up again. When you get up off of the floor, and you rise up above the circumstances. You rise above the problem. You rise above the arguments, the questioning. You rise above all that stuff. I'm telling you what, hell panics. And if something else happens, chains begin to break off. Some people are waiting for the chains to break before they get up. You get up and you watch those chains begin to fall off. When Peter was in prison, you mentioned it this morning, when Peter was in prison and he was chained to the inner guard and he was chained to all this stuff, and the Lord said, Peter, arise. The angel didn't go over and pick Peter up, did he? He said, you arise. And Peter got up on his own accord at the word of the Lord. But then he said, Peter, put your coat on. God didn't put his coat on for him. He didn't say, let me help you put your coat on. No, you're capable of doing that. What he said was, now, the chains are broken. You start walking, and as you walk towards that gate's going to open on its own accord. We can't stay down. We can't have our pity parties. We can't stay there and blame everybody for what we're going through. We need to rise above it. Somebody said, well, I just fell off the wagon again. Well, that's okay. Get back up. We've all fallen off of the wagon, whatever that wagon might be. Amen? Amen. Psalms 37, I'm going to read it one more time, verse 24. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You see, we didn't get up by ourselves. The Lord upheld us with his hand. In fact, I believe God had his hand on you the whole time. He never took his hand off of you, even in the fall. Amen? I'll say it again. The devil thinks the fall is your finish. But a fall is not a funeral. It's not over. I don't know about you, but I'm more determined to stand up and keep fighting in this army. And if somebody knocks me down by something that I wasn't expecting or get the wind knocked out of me, I'm going to rise again by the help and the grace of God and his mercies that are new every morning. Now, what prompted this message was I was asked to speak at this conference last week, and Bishop McGee always says, I'm either up or getting up. How are you doing, Bishop? I'm either up or getting up. Just had part of your liver removed, huh? Yeah, but I'm up or getting up. Just had knee surgery, huh? Yeah, but I'm up or getting up. You just buried your second child. Yeah, but I'm up or getting up. His answer is always, I'm up or I'm getting up. What a way to end the service today. How are you today? I'm either up or getting up. Let's make a confession this morning, then I'm going to bring everybody down to the front for prayer. Shout out with me, I'm not just knocked out. I'm just knocked into my next testimony. Life keeps swinging. But I keep rising. I may fall 7 times, but I'll get up 8. You know what that means? That if you fall 20 times, you'll get up 21 times. The Japanese had a phrase, fall down 7, get up 8. I can't say it in Japanese, but that was one of their sayings. In other words, there's always one more rising than there is falling.
Yes.
So if I fall 99 times, I'm getting up 100 times. It don't stop. Say this with me. I may trip over my own feet.
I may trip over my own feet.
But I refuse to live on the ground.
I refuse to live on the ground.
The floor may recognize me.
The floor may recognize me.
But it doesn't own me.
But it doesn't own me.
Somebody shout amen. Father, thank you for this word today. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing us up into a higher place in you. God, I pray that this message has somehow influenced us to believe your word and to not be so easily knocked down. But if we do get knocked down, that we're not going to stay down. A just man may fall 7 times, but the righteous will continue to rise. Father, I thank you for the determination through your word, through our faith in you today, that nothing can keep us down. There's no devil in hell that can keep his foot on top of us when we're down, for the hand of God will lift us up again. I pray for everybody in this building today, Lord, that our determined thought as we leave today is, I will rise again. I will rise again. Bless your people, Lord. Would you come down here? Everybody just come down around the front while they're singing. Let's just come down around the front for just a moment of prayer. Let's just come together as a family. You can just stand. You can stand against the wall or whatever, but just come on in as close as you can. I promise I'm not going to spit on you. I'm not going to lay my hands on you. I'm not going to rebuke you. I just want you to come up and just get up here close to the front. There's an anointing up here. There's an anointing up here. And I want you to just begin to lift your hands and begin to praise God. God, I may fall, but I'm rising again. God, I have fallen, but I'm going to rise again. God, I failed you in my marriage. I failed you in my confession. I failed you in my church attendance. I failed you in my Bible reading. I failed you in everything. But Lord, I'm rising back to the top. Come on, just begin to confess. Begin to speak with your mouth. Begin to speak with your mouth out loud. Out loud. Come on, say it out loud. I will rise again.
Oh, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm.
Come on, I will rise.
Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my breath.